How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. This edition of the NAWC is
Uncensored.
For nearly 8 years.
8 years.
And nearing 400 episodes.
400 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional Wrestling's podcast
of record.
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 And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Don Bell here with a man you might recognize, actor, musician, host, and of course, former WWE champion, Y2J, Chris Jericho, Chris in the house. Now, you've had a lot of memorable moments in your career. One of them is when you told the people that you have 1,004 holds. You said it in the ring, and you never got a chance to finish the list. Right. Now you have a chance. You
do have a chance. Apparently, I have a new list, and it's right here, as a matter of fact. So let's read the rest.
I'll get out of the way. You do what you do.
Four holds.
Okay.
All right. Number 732, the Winnipeg Washboard. It's a really good one. Number 733, the Polar Vortex. And you don't want to know what that one entails. Number 734, the two-handed Halifax Handlebar. And there is a mustache involved. Number 735, the Don Bell Armbar.
Hey!
Not named after you. It's your forefather. Number 736, the Fozzie Front Face Lock Fazool. Kind of an Italian thing. Number 737, the Cast Iron Clutch.
Okay,
and the
okay.
best one at 7...
Upon further review, maybe not so much. But we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, I got more holds. There's more. There's a whole.
I think we're.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah, we're good.
Maybe a sequel. Next time.
Next time.
Next month. Like what day?
May. Don't call us. We'll call
May,
you.
May, June. What are you doing in June? Are you doing anything?
June's really busy.
June, July 5th.
Yeah.
You're around July 5th.
We'll call you.
Okay.
Okay.
July 5th. It's a deal.
Good talk.
11-ish.
Chris.
Okay.
And I would like to have. I want him to also give us the rest of the 1,004 opponents of Chris Jericho. Granted, it's not as popular. But Benoit's on there. I have proof. Anyway, but we have our own long list of news tonight. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, let us start with our technician, VRM.
Yes, technician who is not having an aneurysm tonight.
Well, you, the Ryan only McDonough. Thing I think I, the only thing I can think that would make you drop a can is the fact that there's no pony tomorrow.
The aneurysm tonight would have been on the ice related, but that's averted, and Jason will agree with me.
Yeah, that's true. Let's introduce the legal correspondent for this show, Jason Block.
Yes, I also would like to thank WCBS-FM in New York for allowing me to be in studio today in the city. Did a little trivia appearance and got ribbed, which was fun.
And our fourth at the table? Well, it's been a while since we've had him at the table. Fourth.
Yes, and I was bummed to find that I am not on the Global Force roster.
You did not get picked up. I'm sorry, Matt.
Not yet.
It's they're slowly building things together. I know a couple other people that are getting looks. Just keep your fingers crossed, and if that doesn't work, forward your video to Tough Enough.
I will.
Because, you know, which is kind of where we should start, since of this, you know, the guy who was on the open, kind of.
Well, it's for the good, you, now that we've got Tough Enough staff sorted is probably the best way to put it. I guarantee you the number of submissions will automatically double.
Triple.
Quadruple. Yeah.
And it's going to... Not falling into that trap. I know what the next one is, and I'm not falling into that trap.
Very good. Very good. Nice.
So, Y2J will be able to read you the entire list of 1,004 holds on Tough Enough. He will be the host. And that'll give him something else to do besides hiding out at house shows all summer long. The trainers that you'll have to deal with are Booker T, Billy Gunn, and Lita.
Which, when I heard this, I was just like, holy crap. Nice.
So, and your judges, with a little bit of past, present, and future... And so, respectively, Hulk Hogan, Daniel Bryan, and Paige.
Ooh.
So, once she's done shooting a film and having to put up with The Miz, she gets to watch other people learn how to wrestle. So, this will all be set up at the Performance Center at Full Sail. And, of course, using all of the Performance Center's facilities, which are amazing in itself, just the videos that we've seen up to this point, the winners will get a one-year $250,000 contract and will fade from memory as the rest of them will actually get jobs.
Oh, shots fired, but truthful. Ow, I'm hurting. You got any burn cream? Ow. Oh, man.
Break out the back, teen folks. I'm on fire.
Yeah, baby.
So they're setting up that the fans will have a say in the progress of the series, but probably not in the final say on the final eliminations. But this is, you know, I am not a fan of Tough Enough, but it's going to be interesting to see whoever they've picked interacting with others in the Performance Center. That I think would you know, actually bring a lot more eyeballs to the scene. Contestants will actually come face to face with Vince, the evil boss, Dr. Levescu, Stephanie, and John Cena. So I'm guessing you will also be judged on how well you can keep your composure, because you will get thrown out quickly if you start into... Which I admit I would have a little trouble with in the case of meeting Vince and Stephanie. I have not had the pleasure. And after Stephanie's interview with Jericho, I want to meet her all the more. So, Darren, will you be watching this?
Most likely, yes, I will, provided the new car payments don't make it. Oh no, that's right, it's on USA. Never mind.
Yeah, you don't, this isn't a $9.99 situation. Fourth, how about you?
I think I'll be watching. I don't know if I'll be able to watch religiously, but I'll definitely tune in when I can.
And Jason, you sounded pretty committed.
I am committed, and I will DVR it for two reasons. One, because, of course, job here, you know, for the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
And number two, the sense of I'm very interested to see where they go with this. And all of a sudden now Chris Jericho is now one of the big faces of the past. I mean, he's doing everything but pretty much go on TV right now.
Mm-hmm. And he's 100% happy with that. He's got his summer schedule already planned, and he's not coming anywhere near my area.
Bastard.
You Canadian bastard. Go back to Toronto. Where's the response, guys?
I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot!
Thank you.
No, but I mean, it's like, you know, Jericho is all over the place. I'm stunned how big he's in. As you said, when does the man sleep?
Yes, I've not received a suitable answer to this question. He's got all of this. He's got a hot wife, three kids. One that should be, you know, one that's about, that might be a little older than Aurora, so they might end up crossing paths at WrestleMania 30, what was it?
43.
And, you know, his podcast between, you know, podcast, you know, Talk is Jericho and what he's doing for the Fed. And of course, and all, a few people.
And also Fozzy, and also he's got the Kiss Cruise that he's going to be on this fall. It's crazy. It's nuts.
I don't know. I don't care what if
he's doing house shows.
Well, no, that's what I've been talking about. His summer schedule with his house shows. He's, closest he's going to be out towards you guys, Boston, Reading, Philly, Pittsburgh's probably too far, Bridgeport, White Plains.
Bridgeport or White Plains would be the two.
And the closest he's going to get to me is Springfield, Illinois, and it's 6 hours just to get to frickin' Beloit on the Wisconsin border.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. So yeah, Jericho, we want your secret, and don't tell me it's the Grey Goose, man. I know better. So we got all that going. Now, Tough Enough was hopefully going to distract a little bit from the fact that NXT's next live program is in just a little bit of trouble, if I may.
Oh, good grief.
Well, okay, let's set this up. First of all, I'm going to pull one specific segment from Raw. We're in Montreal. John Cena's got his U.S. title open challenge. And the first person, and the person who walks out that night is Bret Hart. And everybody's a little, okay, whatever. And Bret gets on the mic. He says, no, it's not me. I want to introduce you a local boy, which I think leaked somehow locally, because I had heard at other times during the show the faint chorus of ole, 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 ole. And
faint. It was loud.
Oh, wait. Sarcasm, good sir, please.
Gotcha.
You should know me better than that. And when he said local boy, The crowd started to rumble. He did it, you know, he had a couple of the superlatives, and Sami Zayn's music hits, and then the roof comes off in Montreal.
Well, before Heath Slater gets punked on the head with a microphone in a very hilarious segment.
Well, yes, Heath Slater, jobber number one, comes out and says, "Hey, I still want my U.S. title match." Brett's like, "Yeah, well, I got an answer for that." Punk,
boom.
But Sammy, you know, Sammy must have been just absolutely stoked. He was going to get to wrestle the biggest name in the WWE of the last decade in a title match in his hometown. The hell he was going to stop for a little thing like a rotator cuff injury.
Which he did to himself.
On his entrance.
On his entrance, no less. And after a couple of times he gets dumped on that shoulder, the match was paused because the referee, who I believe was Rudy Charles, X'd him. And Sammy's indie instincts kicked in and he says, "We'll check it afterwards. Just let me finish the match. Please let me finish the match. Please let me finish the match. That's all I'm asking. Let me finish." Because if he had walked... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and he did. Beautifully.
Yes. He even snuck in his corner suicide tornado DDT.
Yes. Oh, my... With a blown arm. That's insane. It's nuts.
So... Oh. We, you know, so he had something to do with the NXT special, and now he's going to be out for a few months. Then...
And he's not the only one.
No, he's not, because this one... Well, let's see, we have a couple of them, because Alex Riley... He had to go have knee surgery, so he can't get it. So he can't finish up his thing. He's still got his beef with Kevin Owens, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, so we can't follow up on that. Then, as if it couldn't get any worse. Itami's out.
Jeez.
On a major shoulder injury. And he's going to be out for 6 to 8 months. So, it's just, you know, okay, there's most of your... That's a big chunk of you. The soundboard just died. Anyway, so we got three names out of the NXT special. The show must go on, but what do you do?
Only one thing I can think, they would have to put Balor and Breeze on and then have the winner face Owens the same night.
That's a thought, and I've heard some rumors, you know, just to give Owen something else to do. To make up for the Riley thing is have Rhino attack him. Which I'd watch. And what was it Tommy's match?
He was going to be with Balor and Breeze in a triple threat.
Okay.
Maybe you bring back the South African assassin Leo Kruger. Who knows?
Could do that.
We could do that. I would be the happiest man on earth.
They could maybe get the resident hacker to come in and just jump in for shits and giggles.
And now we return to your regularly scheduled broadcast.
I won't complain.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has got to suck. The injury bug biting NXT when they're white hot.
Nuclear hot. Nuclear hot.
Yeah. So, you know, fingers crossed for these guys. They've got 2 weeks to figure it out. Because the show's on the 20th, correct?
Yes, I think so. Let me see what the card says as you're going to the next story.
Okay. Oh yeah, actually, I'm gonna jump in on a bit from Raw. Sellout Seth really needs to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
You're a good wrestler, kiddo, but how well can you wrestle with 1 foot in your mouth and Kane on your back?
I'm guessing not very well.
Well, I mean, we had the Rollins Ambrose stuff, which, you know, I could watch twice a week and never get bored.
That was an awesome match, by the way. So awesome. They just killed it out there.
Oh, I know. Kappa, I want my cartoon of this. No, actually, I want my cartoon of the contract signing.
Dibs because, on the table.
Yeah. We all know what's going to happen, guys.
Fourth, actually, I'm sorry. I don't know. There's a little too much mic noise.
All right, I'll work on that right now.
Okay.
That helps.
Sorry, Nick.
No, it's fine. With the contract signing was in itself amusing between the banter, Dean leaning on the fourth wall, Joey Mercury getting thrown into the table, and the table didn't break.
Oh! I fell for him because it didn't break. It was just like thud. You heard that thud.
And I want to feel bad for him, but I just thought it was, you know, rough and tough J&J security can't even beat a table. Was it the Japanese table? So props also to Rollins stalling and having, you know, trying to get, you know, trying not to get into the ring because he knew he was going to get his ass kicked. So we have a fatal four-way, The Shield versus Randy Orton, and somewhere in there is the World Heavyweight title.
Yes!
And I hope at some point we have, you know, even though I realize that Ambrose and Reigns are faces and Rollins is a chicken shit heel, I want to see the three of them team up just to beat on Orton for a few minutes.
Which is probably gonna be how they try and start the match, but Rollins is just going to...
I know it's too much to ask for a triple powerbomb, but I hope something at least alluding to it.
That'd be kind of fun. The problem is it's hard to do it to Randy Orton just because getting in position properly.
Baby oil!
You know, it seems that it's happening a little too early. To me, I expected to see the Shield triple threat at some point, but it just feels like Dean just got shoehorned in here. It's not a knock on Dean, it's just that I feel that this was a big, getting the three of them in the ring together in the title match is a big four kind of thing, not a not a start of the pay-per-view calendar type of thing.
I agree, but I think enough people have heard the reactions that Dean has been getting, and they're like, we can't wait on this.
Hmm.
Plus, Dean really didn't have anything to do. I mean, yeah, he might have still had something going on with Carter, but it's kind of more fun when he starts, when he has Seth in his sights. And you just talk to him about it.
When I talk, you should listen. When I have a headset, when I have a microphone, you should listen. I say important things. When I talk, people listen for a reason.
Yes, they do. But you see, Luke Harper may have a new friend at the moment.
Or an old friend, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Is it a friend or is it a feud, I guess, is the best question. Because Luke Harper was beating the high holy hell out of... Who'd they throw at him?
Fandango, if I remember correctly.
Which is a shame, because Fandango is awesome, and the costume he has now is awesome.
Yes.
And he just gets mangled by Harper. And then Rowan comes out, and we're thinking, ooh, you know, these two are going to get into each other's faces again. Rowan forgot his mask. So is it a peace offering or a challenge? I'm very curious. Because there's been a slight bump in tag team division interest. Especially now that the New Day has won over the internet.
Yes! Oh, yes, they have.
All it took was trolling every single person on the roster.
And that's fun. I mean, they won their match at the beginning of Raw, and they celebrated for the rest of the show. That's the kind of doofus the show needs. That's some doofus I can get behind. Where, you know, they're celebrating when Kane walks by him, and he's like, ugh. Or they were still celebrating when the Bellas walked by them, and they thought that, you know, they corpsed.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. No, but what I love about the New Day right now, and here's the beauty of wrestling fandom. The New Day wasn't over. And the fact that they weren't over, they turned poop into gold. When it was with the clapping and the New Day sucks, I don't know which crowd started it, but praise be that they did. Okay? And they just took it into gold.
And the fact that other tag teams are having fun with it, the six-man tag that they did against Upper Cats and Ryback, I think they got Kofi or Xavier stuck in the corner, and it did rhythmic stomping to the New Day Sucks chant. I'm like, I'm in.
That was Ryback, praise be. Praise be to the Silverback right there.
Ryback has reinvented himself after that. And Monday's Raw and SmackDown, they've proved it to me.
I saw it a long time ago, but I'm glad to see it even now. And we've had that. We had a Matadores match with the Lucha Dragons. Take mine on nine.
And the Hoof of Friendship. Sorry, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Jim's not here, otherwise... No, you don't have to apologize. Jim's not here.
Okay, fine.
But Matadores and Lucha Dragons, first of all, that was an awesome match. And then we get the Hoof of Friendship bit when one of the Matadores shoved Torito around. And thank you, Lawler. You probably don't understand why we're laughing, but thank you.
Okay.
And if this wasn't bad enough, if I missed main event this week, and I'm going to have to go pull up the network and watch it just for a segment. With Axelmania still running wild and running into Macho Mandow.
Oh boy.
Certainly a polarizing one.
That they get run over by the Ascension. Meaning we're getting the meta powers?
The meta powers, yes. Very nice.
The meta. I'm going to have to watch this segment because now I am curious as all get out, because I'm hoping that Sandow, if he's going to do this, he better freaking Jay Lethal this and came out with everything on it. But please give him his old entrance back. That remix sucks.
Oh my god. Give him back the purple tights as well. I don't dig the DS on the front. It just doesn't look right.
It doesn't look like anything. That's what the problem is. It's, yeah, and so I wish this had actually been on Raw or SmackDown, because I really want to. I want to see this. Now I really want to see this. If I wasn't in the middle of a show, I'd be pulling the network up right now. Anyway, but we had all that. You know, the possibility that Harper and Rowan are getting back together. We've got tag teams now starting to crawl out of the woodwork, which is a good thing. Because the tag team division needs some attention. What else have I got from there? Oh! Fourth, I'm going to start with you. I want to get your thoughts on Stardust's little prank on R-Truth.
I actually didn't mind it so much. I hope it doesn't become a full gimmick, though. But it was kind of a funny deal, given how Truth is always talking about his hatred of spiders. So I'll at least give them some points.
So, Virim, bag of spiders.
I did not watch. No comment.
Okay. Jason, bag of spiders.
Bag of spiders was awesome. I'm sorry. It was great. You know, if they make it a gimmick with Stardust as the guy who takes the fears of the worst people, you know, or pranking them like that, so I don't mind that. There's one other. We had a very interesting return this week too, in the women's division.
Oh, that is correct. We finally got our Tamina back.
And what a way to return.
Oh, yeah. And I'm very happy that Tamina is back. And I'm very happy at the tack that Tamina and Naomi are taking. You know, enough of the Barbie dolls. We're athletes. Yay. All of my money. I will watch Divas matches now. Oh my goodness. Excuse me. Let's see. I know we talked about, I mentioned that Rollins, you know, shouldn't. He really needs to watch what he says and when he says it and where he says it.
Yeah.
Hey, Seth, stop poking the Hellhound.
The Hellhound is also going to be reporting to the Authority, But who is the Authority going to side with, Seth or Kane? That's going to be interesting, too.
And that'll be part of next week's Raw, where the evil boss and Stephanie will be back. And I'm expecting a huge blow-up in the office. First with Seth screaming and jumping up and down, with J&J security hiding behind him. Kane growling and snarling and pointing out what he's tried to do to keep things under control. Stephanie doing everything she can not to laugh at them. And Hunter, good luck, man. So, if WWE is not your cup of tea, if you are a fan of Lucha Underground and New Japan and Ring of Honor and all that, Global Force is going to try to sneak in. They're getting their act together, as Forth had mentioned.
Yes, off the top of my head, I know they have Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, Lady Tapa, Thea Trinidad, and I know they have Sonnen as a commentator, but I don't know if they're going to try to slip him into the ring.
Don't know yet. I do have that. They have a tie-in with New Japan and AAA. Let's see, who else did I see in this list?
I have the list. You got the Bullet Club in Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. Don't be surprised if you see AJ Styles following with them, by the way.
He needs to. That would be the biggest fuck you to Dixie that I could thoroughly enjoy. And I need to talk about Dixie in a minute.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Chris the Adonis Mordetsky, a.k.a. that's Chris Masters, right? PJ Black. Oh, Justin Gabriel, if I remember correctly, right? Quinn Moose Ojinaka, who I believe also works for Ring of Honor. Thea Trinidad, and there's going to be more names to come. And yes, Chael Sonnen is going to be the CM Punk with the broadcaster. with the broadcast type of deal.
That's okay. If he can talk as good as CM Punk, then they've made a very wise choice.
And the tickets go on sale because we're going to have three tapings, July 24th, August 21st, and October 23rd in Las Vegas. The pre-sale is going to be this Monday, May 11th. And tickets are going to be at $30, and they're going to be at the Orleans Hotel in Las Vegas. So there you go. Good stuff. I mean, look, they got some good people here.
No, this is a good start. And Jarrett still has, and I mean this pun with all the love in the world. Jarrett still has some stroke in the wrestling world. Mm-hmm.
And they've got a nice
WCW represent.
Yeah, they've got a nice sized building for their first tapings. The Orleans Arena is a 9,500 seat boxing venue. So.
Okay. So depending on how much set they're gonna have, and with ring space, they can probably seat 7,500.
But and they'll probably. And they can probably get most of it, unlike TNA.
Mm-hmm. Unlike TNA, who tried to generate some buzz by letting Dixie Carter sit down with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Because that worked so well for Vince McMahon.
That should
have been a freaking bloodbath. Austin went easy on her. But go ahead, Viren.
It's like, I forget who it was, I think I saw somewhere that there's talk within the talent that Dixie's appearance. Oh no, that was about the China. That was about the China tour where I saw that.
Okay.
But I remember who was it that posted about the where she contradicted herself on or avoided a question.
Oh, she did quite a bit. Now I haven't listened to the podcast, so you know, shame on me. Let me see if I can find the thread.
Well, she said, and I have it from your boy Mikey. Okay.
Okay.
And he said, now up until recently, you've been criticized with the lack of marketing. Dixie says a lot of that had to do with creative. At the time, even Jeff Jarrett, they always kept me in the dark and kept everything close to their chest and said that I would react to it. Well, how can I damn well market something if I don't know what it is? One of many reasons she brought John Gabarick in. Really? Are you out of your mind? What?
Other than telling you the basis of the storyline, what purpose does creative have to do with marketing?
Exactly.
Jeez.
And let me see. Let me get some other juicy quotes. Dixie talks about the Monday night. Oh, we didn't get as many viewers as the numbers say because people were switching back and forth, and that skewed the real individual numbers.
Oh, good grief.
Really?
Holy crap!
Jeez.
But that doesn't even... That's not the worst one, okay? She
Oh, no, no, there's... Keep going.
Okay. She mentioned that she considered giving her employers a lie detector test to determine who was leaking information to wrestling sites. Are you out of your freaking mind?
Okay.
Holy
if there's anyone
fascist.
That, if there's
Holy
anyone that
fascism.
Should be, if there's anyone that should be hooked up to a lie detector, there it is. That woman.
Very good. Ding, ding, ding. Yes.
What? No. It's no anything because it's called spoilers. Do you honestly think people attending your events are going to keep their mouths shut about what you put about the crap you're throwing in front of them
when you're filming
really?
It 5 months in advance?
Yeah.
Really? Let's see. Talking about having to take a step back to take a step forward. So you mean like your move from Spike to Destination America? Oh, no. And then she goes on about losing Hogan, Flair, and Sting. Losing those three is a step back to start investing in the future, young guys that the fans don't know. Huh?
I don't even.
My brain hurts.
Really? I'm surprised Austin got as far as he did in the interview, because there should have been some point where he just stopped and looked at his microphone.
This contest just continues to go downhill.
It's crazy. That's fucking delusion. I'm sorry. That's just delusion.
That's, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You really do not comprehend.
I don't think she gives a shit.
At this point, I'm thinking at least one or two TNA main eventers are probably sending out feelers to Jarrett. They have to.
Yeah, it's getting worse because of the China tour,
which was canceled, if I understood correctly.
Yeah, everyone was. Let me find the release on WrestleChat. TNA FC, here it is. So, there was a planned tour in China at the end of the month. It had never been officially announced by the company, but talents had apparently been told, according to the Observer, that talents were told that the tour was happening until only a few days ago. And some are saying that this is the sign that the company is all but dead.
Because you don't do that to talent. I've been on both sides of this. Not on this big of a scale, but I've been on both sides of this. Where talent was promised stuff to attend an event and didn't get it. And were pretty hot when they left the building because of what they had to cancel and rearrange and cost them money and potential connections to get what you promised.
The most famous example of this, as far as I can remember, was that Balls Mahoney thing, where he went to the promoter's house. Do you remember this a few years back?
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And I was on the wrong end of it in Akron, where I almost got, where I probably could have been murdered by four Michigan wrestlers, and one of them was Eddie freaking Venom.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Another one was Truth Martini. Maybe he would have shown some mercy. Happy birthday, by the way, man. Anyway, but yeah, they told me that they told me about the commitments that they had canceled to do this show. And, the heat was kind of on me because I'm the one who invited them. But I made up for it and spent my last $60 to make sure that they had gas to get home. But that still cost them gigs. And don't jerk a wrestler around like that. Not only will they stop calling you, they start calling your competition.
And WWE has said nope.
WWE's not interested in anything out of TNA right now. They've got plenty to play with. Especially one of their new acquisitions that William Regal got to proudly pose with.
Oh, yes. A man that I won't even begin to pronounce his first name.
No, but I'm going to steal a fan board joke and just say that NXT's got a new nation.
What, Uha Nation?
Him. That very person.
Nice.
And I'm going to see if I can find that picture real quick, because it's a wonderful picture of William Regal shaking Nation's hand. It's right up there with all the Triple H picks when he got Itami, when he got Baylor, when he got Owens,
Zane, that the Fab Four.
Yeah.
The only downside
Hey, Internet, watch this. Kaboom! Kaboom!
Internet explode.
I love that crap. I really do.
The only downside is, just how do you put this man through a name generator? That's got to be a weird...
Very carefully.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the name generator, I got to tell you, ESPN, God love them, you know, I gotta tell you about this, Nikki. They did one of the most spectacular jobs of showing what the WWE is, and at least what NXT is, on an awesome, awesome, awesome documentary this week on E60 called Behind the Curtain.
That I'm still kicking myself that I did not, that I forgot to tell my DVR to get it for me. But yes, in the chat, ladies and gentlemen, William Regal with Ubane.
yes, he looks like general manager. He looks like general manager Regal, actually. You know,
I for one would welcome general manager Regal back. Yeah. I would also, I for one would also welcome back King Regal, but Barrett's not going to give that up anytime soon.
Nope.
He's having too much fun.
Now,
go ahead.
Can I just elaborate a little bit on the E60 documentary?
We really should. We should go further into that. I unfortunately, like I said, I'm just, you know, I'm holding my head in shame because I did not watch, but I will get it. I will set for Monday and get this.
So they spent 2 years on this documentary, okay, and they focused on three superstars, Corey Graves, Xavier Woods, and at the time, Leo Kruger. Okay? And they basically showed the rise of these three different individuals in different ways. And they showed how Xavier Woods wants to be the first smart guy and PhD in the WWE. Mm-hmm. And they also showed how Corey Graves had all his concussion issues. And they showed Ray LaPan, a.k.a. Leo Kruger and Adam Rose. And Ray LaPan came off so well about this because his son, his first son, Maverick, has a debilitating stomach issue where he has to be fed through a feeding tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you this, the industry went unbelievably, the reactions to this documentary were positive. And from what I heard, and you could back me up on this, either Fourth or VRM, WWE had no say in the editing process or nothing. It was all under ESPN control. So there was no, you know, no fooling around here on this one.
No embellishing.
No, to the point where they even acknowledged Bill DeMott's firing in 2015.
Nice.
They acknowledged it at the end credits. And it showed, of course, Triple H, and they showed people who are on the creative team, including Michael Cole is on the creative. You know, Michael Cole has a very big role in NXT as well, for those who don't know. They showed, Triple H talking about him and Michael Hayes and other stuff. This is a must-see documentary as to what the behind-the-scenes thing. And they also caught, you know, Corey Graves getting the 2-year broadcasting contract. And they also, because of all his concussion issues. And now Corey Graves is now on, you know, the pre-show panels, has now got that show. What is it called? Culture Shock on the WWE Network?
Culture Shock.
Culture Shock.
Which I need to catch up on. I'm unfortunately watching train wrecks like Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling that they're posting up, and Jerry Springer's too hot for television.
Nice. I heard that's some good stuff too.
Well, if you are a Gold Dust fan, catch this week's episode because that was about half of it, and it covers everything from all the way back to him with Vashon to Book Dust to the stuttering gimmick.
Wasn't that part of Booker Dust?
The stuttering thing, I thought the stuttering thing was on the tail end of their tag team. Because I thought that was something to write Goldust out for a little bit. Which, speaking of the Bizarre One, he is currently out with an injury, thus the Goldust Stardust stuff is cooling while Goldust gets himself healed up. I bring up Goldust's stuttering gimmick just because it hit in one of my favorite places. That Goldust was the one who essentially helped give Rosie his superhero start.
That's right.
Where Goldust is still patting himself on the back that he got away with saying shit on the air. He was bleeped, but he still got to say it. So to that, yes, I went on Facebook and said, "Hey Rosie, don't take this wrong, but you were on Springer last night." So what all the nonsense? Actually, this last bit, this other piece is nonsense. VRM, I think you and Jason watched Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Oh my God!
By any means necessary, let's just
yes.
say.
Thank okay. yes.
Yes, and thank you, because there was one too many nines in that price.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
This was no. No.
And
no,
the
no,
fight
no.
was not worth it. There have been a lot of memes that came out about. There was one that I saw that we had the on my feed where something about your dance partner, and it was like a bunch of couples, and it was. And the way that they took the picture, it actually looked like Pacquiao and Mayweather were dancing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, it was 12 rounds of punch, 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 hug, punch, 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 hug, punch, 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 hug.
You had the quote of the week when you saw the fight. You said, and I quote, "There were more rest holds in this than an Orton Cena match." So I'm very happy. Okay, that was awesome. I had VRM. That was great, 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 great line. However, someone was not very happy about this specifically.
And I just think her timing's kind of weird. But then again, boxing was never really known for their booking.
Shots fired.
Yes. Not wrong. Not wrong by any stretch.
I am correct.
Yes, you are correct. But you're wrong. But you understand what I mean.
Oh, no. So anyway, I just, I had some curiosity about this because Michelle Beadle was kind of caught in the middle of all this between the press fiasco and her love of WWE, and the fact that WWE did a special on Big Show Mayweather from the money match from WrestleMania 24?
Yeah, 24.
Okay. So, she decided that she needed to disassociate herself with the WWE universe. But it just... The timing is extremely weird, and I'm going to read the quote. Just for some feedback. And Jason, I want you to go last this time.
No problem. I'll shut up. I'll get a drink. I'll get off heads. So you go read.
Thank you. So Vera M. Forth, welcome to the show.
Alright.
So after the fight, she was talking about how the fact that she wanted to distance herself from the WWE fan base. I'm a fan of Triple H as a wrestler. He was a big part of my memories, even as recently as this year's WrestleMania. As an EVP, he successfully led the change in building WWE's farm system, NXT. WWE proudly lends its name and backing to Susan G. Komen, Make-A-Wish, and Boys and Girls Clubs, just to name a few. They've been deeply involved in building an anti-bullying campaign known as Be a Star. And just last year, Stephanie McMahon strengthened the company's domestic violence policies with the zero-tolerance policy for domestic abuse. Upon arrest for such misconduct, the superstars would be suspended, and if there's a conviction, that superstar or diva would be terminated. That's from their wellness policies. It applies to all WWE talent. Imagine my confusion when, during the maelstrom of that weekend, I noticed a few tweets that may have at any other time gone unnoticed. Tweets that caused me to question my support of the WWE and the man who sits near the top of the company's food chain. So why now, some have wondered? Because sometimes it takes a little longer to see the light. Triple H has continued to display his relationship with Floyd Mayweather through social media, the most recent being a hearty congratulations to the boxer following his victory Saturday night. After this crummy boxing match. She didn't say that. It's not my place to say what one should and should not do on Twitter, especially during personal time. However, the era in which we're living is rapidly changing, and the lines between one's corporate and private personas have blurred. Triple H has over 2 million followers. He's one of the faces of the company that depends on a healthy public image. I realize he doesn't speak for everyone, but does he realize that when he shows support to a convicted batterer, friend or not, it can effectively damage so much goodwill that the company is admittedly doing? It's hard to sell a message of anti-bullying while slapping the ultimate bully on the back. I was a fan. A big fan. But it's time to use my voice. Michelle, use your freaking head.
Didn't she also say she was doing shots with Steve Austin at one point?
Who, oh, by the way, was he actually convicted on his domestic abuse issues with Deborah?
I don't think so, but I just thought some of that, the implications of what she was saying were just a little off.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, Austin was the first thing that popped into my mind. The timing on this was just really weird, and Beetle being someone who has hung out with Stone Cold Steve Austin, given his checkered past, Jason, you used a pretty strong word on this.
She's a hypocrite. She's a fake. She's a phony. Let me explain to you why. She stated earlier on, and I just gave you the money quote, that she said she was a fan of the WWE on and off for 18 years, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, WrestleMania 24 happened in 7 years ago, which would be 2008, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to look up when Floyd Mayweather was arrested, okay? Okay. How many times Floyd Mayweather was arrested? Okay. Because if he was arrested for any domestic abuse after 2008, then she has no beef whatsoever. Zero. None.
This is a long one. So let's see. 2000, I'm on the wiki, so take this with a grain of salt.
Wiki's reliable.
Yeah. Criminal convictions, 2002, 2 counts of domestic violence, 1 count of misdemeanor battery. 2004, 1 year suspended jail sentence for 2 counts of misdemeanor battery against 2 women. 2005, no contest to misdemeanor battery after hitting and kicking a bouncer. 2010, former girlfriend files a domestic battery report.
Okay, so there it is right there. September 9th, 2010. If that were true, going by her thing, she should not have done anything for NBC, done nothing for the WWE. Goodbye. See ya. Good. You know what I'm saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. It's
yeah.
It's,
and it's, here's and the results of those charges was 2011. Pleads guilty to misdemeanor battery in exchange for prosecutors dropping a felony battery charge, and then no contest to two counts of misdemeanor harassment.
So, yeah, if Beetle is so against this, where was she in 2010? Getting her rib broken at a WrestleMania? Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, so, she's been a fan for 5 more years. And let me just tell you something. If you want to take a stand, take a stand. But take a stand when you have something to go with. You know what I mean? Like, be real about it.
Mm-hmm. My stance on all this is that I am jaded over athletes and domestic abuse to begin with, and it's only been some high profile stuff in the NFL that even the audiences were paying attention. The whole Mayweather's behavioral history was swept under the rug with the media denials, with the revoking of press passes. So, it's all a giant freaking work.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And is Triple H a bit of a hypocrite for still being friends with Floyd Mayweather? Yeah. He is.
Maybe.
Okay. A little bit. But
a little bit, but Mayweather made his company money.
Yes. Yeah, money over morals. You know this.
Yes. So, and money over morals extends into every sport. So
yeah.
Michelle Beadle should just get out of sports broadcasting altogether if she wants to take a stand. And she's not going to walk away from that much money.
Nope.
So, sorry, dear.
Yeah, and staying with the overall situation, Pacquiao Mayweather, early reports are that people really wanted to spend $100 to see this fight. Estimated buy rate, 5 million.
Holy shit!
And they say pay-per-view is dead.
Wow!
So, let's see, that's $500 million in pay-per-view buy rate alone.
Can you dig it, sucker? Oh my god! Wow!
And if you thought money over morals worked on that side of the ring, look at the other side of the ring and the people that don't care. Oh, I don't care that they beat their wives. They're good athletes.
Aha! Yeah.
Don't get me started. Please don't get me started.
Oh, speaking of just sort of like the quote-unquote abuse thing, just I have to ask one more question. How much are you loving the slow face turn with Lana and the whole Rusev thing?
Slow my foot.
Okay, fine.
I'm trying to figure out if they're just going to fake it out somehow, or she's... What would be really interesting is if they had Cena have to say he quits because Rusev's holding her hostage, but I don't know if they could do that.
Oh, they could probably pull something like that because that was the other thing on the Springer show was the Kiss My Ass Club. And Mick Foley was forced to kiss Vince's ass or Melina would have lost her job. So I think there's something to it that Lana's going to be put in a very uncomfortable position, that Rusev feels he has motive enough that he could do something to her. Cena's enough of the white bread superhero who would come to her rescue, and I don't have the actual button, so this will have to do. And doesn't want to see this poor woman who has berated him and his country for over a year. But she's still a woman.
Do you really think they could do that in the PG/PG-13 era?
Yes. Especially since I'm starting, you know, they're going to have another press conference about the words they use. From the hours of 8 to 9, we will not use the following words. And I'm just trying to figure out who they should... No, I already know the answer to that. The New Day needs to do this. I want the New Day to do a new press conference. You know, we're tired of this. You know, we want to set up, you know, if you guys have to use these words, we want you to use them in the most positive way possible. So during these times, you are allowed to use this, you know, this, these two or three words. And after this time, you might even graduate up to these words. Now, there's a whole bunch that we don't want you to say. And then they start cussing.
No, but we can't even say it. No, we don't want to even say it because we're positive people. You see, you and can't use.
No. And Big E says not even bleep.
No, not even bleep. No, not at all. No.
Oh, come on, man. But bleep.
Watch your fucking mouth.
Watch your fucking mouth. Book it. WWE, take my idea. Please. So, I think I'm going to go out on that note because I like that.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a positive note, you see. Because we are all about the positivity, you see. Through and through. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling silly. Very silly, yes.
Too silly. We're going to have to wrap up the podcast because it is getting a little too silly. So, so let me go around the table real quick. Forrest, do you have anything to promote? And where's Typho?
Well, I've been trying to get him on to the other place, or off the other place, but this would be interesting. I will say... Oh, go ahead.
Forrest, we've been trying for years. We invaded his show.
Or tried to, anyway.
Well, the two things I will say. First, yesterday
first
was...
First, you need to keep your mic to stand still.
Yeah, you need a headset.
Yeah. First, I just wanted to say yesterday was a bit of a somber day because it was what would have been the 50th birthday of Owen Hart.
Ah! We forgot something!
Excuse me. Hit that scratching sound. Scratching sound.
We interrupt our plugging. Because I need to give that little nugget some attention. finally, damn it, Martha, you could have gotten the money this way instead of suing WWE every other year. Owen's getting his own DVD.
I hope it happens. I hope that there's no legal hurdles.
There's going to be.
We're already hearing the first of it because apparently Martha didn't know about this until it was announced.
Ooh.
Oh, somebody's going to get hurt because some of the news sources said that this had her blessing.
The report that I gotta find the actual thing from Martha.
I have it.
But Tyler posted for us that NoDQ said that NoDQ.com said that it did have Martha's full blessing. We get the rebuttal.
I have the rebuttal. And it was also reported by WrestlingDVDNews.com, which, by the way, is a fantastic website if you actually check that out. Mm-hmm. Really good site. Really good site about, you know, the documents and stuff. My children and I were unaware of this project until May 7th. That would be yesterday, time-wise. When it was brought to our attention by a friend who had read about it online. Contrary to your report, we do not back or support it in any way, nor has WWE requested our backing or support. From what little we know of this project, it seems like another attempt to exploit Owen's memory and his tragic death for commercial gain. We have resisted that kind of initiative for almost 16 years. If WWE really wanted to honor his legacy, it would just let him rest in peace. Oh, boy.
Martha, you would do a lot of people a lot of favors if you would just quit suing the WWE, because you would get the royalties so you can put kids through college.
There would be a ton of money. Ton of money. Are you kidding?
And if this goes through and it gets completed, Owen goes into the Hall of Fame in 2016. Period. Paragraph.
With or without your consult.
Yeah. And if you don't want to speak on Owen's behalf, Brett will. So, let this happen, Martha. Please. Seriously. It may be hypocritical of me, but there's a few other wrestlers that I'm never going to see a DVD about, because the WWE doesn't want that kind of publicity. But Owen is a positive. It was a positive influence of the company, and there are a lot of people who really need to learn more about him. So, please. Let it happen. So, apologies. And I think Owen's the one that's messing with my computer tonight. So, we now return to the plugging. Forth, you had a couple things to say.
Well, another thing that I wanted to plug is something I saw in Blue Bar Cage. The people at TNA Creative have started to review a few shows, mainly NXT and their own show of Impact, and it's actually not bad.
So there's, as in comparatively, action and storyline-wise?
Not so much. It looks more like a little bit mixed in with some humorous commentary about it.
I'm sorry. You're talking about the Twitter account, not the actual TNA Creative, because Creative isn't. Cool. I'll have to look into that. VRM, you typically don't have anything to promote either, but I'm going to bug you anyway.
Nah, I've got nothing.
Okay. Jason, you and Chief High Muckety Muck.
Hey, Carl. Hey, Carl.
Has stepped away.
Oh, figures.
Well, I'll start with a couple of things, Actually,
let me throw mine in real quick. Because VRM's here, so he already knows what I'm going to promote.
Yep.
Paper Review is slowly catching up on our 1988s, and we are almost done. I recommend the latest re-recording. Purely if you are a television production person.
Oh, yeah.
VRM and I took this wonderful wrestling event apart, camera by camera, cable by cable. and tore it into little itty bitty pieces. To the point that Chris said at one point, "I'm just going to sit back and listen to you guys because you've lost me." I said, "Oh yeah, there's a wrestling match going on." So, but yes, tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. The show is pay per review, and we're hoping that we can continue such wonderful things, and hopefully get a few other guests on board to continue to perpetuate history and compare it with modern wrestling, whether it's characters, layout, or in this particular case, equipment. After all, VRM, how many people were we going to fire once we saw most of this?
I think we were up to the tech director at some point.
Yeah.
There were some questionable edits and cuts.
And there was some serious blue banana color and white balancing going on with these cameras. Oh my god. So, okay. Jason, please.
Yes.
Good, and Muck Amuck, please plug.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Carl.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right, let's talk BS Big Show, because that's what we want to talk about.
Yeah, upcoming probably Monday night or Tuesday night, one of the two. There's a situation happening in the NFL.
Oh, yes. Boy.
If you recall, we talked about the NFL draft the last time we got together. Let's just say, I think Bully Ray has a message for a certain team.
You're a lying sack of crap, and you know it!
More specifically, Tom Brady. Someone was caught in a lie.
Oh, I took it off the board. Damn it. I could have played Triple H's thing about that.
We'll talk about that, plus some free agent moves, and unfortunate little three-letter situation for one of the first-round draft picks. Ew.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
That is on BS Big Show.
Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars' number one pick in the first day of training camp tore the ACL.
Fowler, yeah, we'll talk about that this week on the BS Big Show. Jay, I think Jim was talking about baseball somewhere.
Yes, he was. We recorded an episode of Touch 'Em All this past weekend. And we were talking about moves and, you know, counter moves, you know, what teams are surprising, what teams are not. And, you know,
Astros.
All the good. Yeah, the Astros, holy smoke. You know, it's some really, really good stuff. And we must do another Red State, Blue State this Sunday because Baltimore has blown up, and not in the way you think. We have a politically based charge that probably won't stand up in court, and it was done for a specific reason, and we'll talk about that, and just a bunch of other stuff. And the mayor,
like labor getting completely destroyed in Great Britain.
Yes.
Especially in Scotland. Oh.
You put it this way, the Scottish National Party, I believe, took 59 out of 60 seats.
56 out of 59. And no losses. 56 out of 59, no losses.
Yeah, so and that's going to be very interesting because the Scottish National Party won, I believe, they remember the big referendum vote last year?
Yeah.
They wanted to get Scotland away from England. I believe they were a big supporter of this. And
political mess.
And of course we have Scripts with WLTI Live. Of course Chico is on vacation this week. He's done some cruising, so
you
and
lucky SOB.
Yes, he is, and we miss him and all that good stuff. And you can listen to all the podcasts that are on here on Stitcher Radio, Player.fm,
and TuneIn Radio.
And, And TuneIn Radio. Yes, sir. And you can get them at the Google Play Store and your Android store. Yes, all that good stuff. So, there you go.
And one quick little thing before we do go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For those who didn't catch Letterman last night, oh, my God.
Tina Fey getting naked?
That's what it looked like, yeah.
I...
Spandex.
Pass.
No.
Look for that Amy Schuler spoof on Comedy Central's website. Oh, yeah. Nasty.
Oh, Amy Schumer? Oh, yeah. Well, a story off air about Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Which we'll get. Okay.
Alrighty, but I did all my plugging while Muckamuck was away, so we're completely caught up. So, for VRM, for Jason Block, for our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier, for our fourth, better known as fourth, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, and be warned, we will be back next week with more wrestling doofus. And till then,
stay pony, my friends.